Romantic obsession with someone you can't have is a sneaky, life-wrecking toxin. Almost a drug that feels great at first and then seems like if you could just have that person, your life would go from really, really empty to totally amazing. But notice I said drug. The drug treats pain and the drug wears off. And next thing you know, the solution that you found has just swept like a massive mudslide through everything good in your life. Can it ever be true that this one person you wanted but lost is the missing element in your life that explains why you've been so sad for so long? Maybe, maybe, if you know the signs. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible, and those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. My letter today is from a man I'll call Ed, and he writes, "Hello, Anna. Am I stuck in a CPTSD trauma bond mixed with limerence? I grew up as an only child. My mother was an alcoholic, and it was not a healthy environment for obvious reasons." All right, I've got my fairy pencil. I'm going to circle things that I want to come back to on a second reading, but let's go through Ed's letter and see what's going on. "I was emotionally neglected, spent most of my time alone, and it was hard to make or keep friends. My parents divorced the first time when I was 7 and then remarried. They divorced again when I was 18. I dropped out of high school my sophomore year due to my home life. Both parents agreed to let me drop out, but later obtained a GED. I've never done drugs or alcohol, believe it or not, on a positive note. At 16, going on 17, I met my first love, to whom I lost my virginity. She was introduced to me because she wanted a nice guy instead of the bad guys she had been with many times before." Okay. "She also had a troubled past before I came into her life from an abusive mother. I treated her like gold and did everything I could to keep her happy. I didn't want to lose her as she was the most significant person ever in my entire life. I became her doormat, used in many ways, and I was constantly worried with anxiety that she might cheat or treat me poorly or leave. Close to a year later, she broke up with me as she wanted to go out and have fun, drink, drugs, party. I didn't do any of that. That breakup absolutely destroyed me. I wanted to die. I couldn't move. I was so angry and screamed and cried so much. I felt so worthless. I couldn't hold on to what meant the most to me. And to this day, I struggle with many aspects of it, including sexual trauma." I'm not sure what you mean about that. I'm not sure you went and you explained what that is, but okay. "One other girlfriend was a mistake. She cheated on me. And a year later, I met my now wife of 25 years. She's the nicest, most supportive person. I married unhealed and way too early, and I was afraid to lose her because of the past. I sold myself to her as something more than I was. I feel it was just to keep her, and she was stability. She was a means for survival, I've only now come to realize. I love her as a friend, the mother of my children, but the chemistry and connection and attraction isn't there and has never been like it was with my first girlfriend. Maybe I'm still confused with what love really is. I've often thought of my ex throughout our marriage. I've never been able to shake my feelings towards her. I've never been able to provide the emotional needs for my wife that I did for my ex-girlfriend. I've always felt a disconnect, me to her. Before she was pregnant with our first child, I knew something wasn't right and started questioning the marriage to myself. But in less than a year, we were pregnant and had two fantastic children, now both adults. I wasn't going to leave the marriage because I didn't want them to go through a divorce like I did at an early age. But I've not been happy, and my wife senses it and has said she's waiting for the day that I announce that I'm leaving. But she remains by my side, knowing that's a possibility. Wow. Okay. I reunited with my first love a year ago after 30 years. She is married with adult children. I met up with her to find closure, mistake, suggested by a previous therapist. What? I'm going to say something about that. Okay. My wife was aware of the meeting, hoping it would help the situation I found myself in, with a recent nervous breakdown at work resulting in job loss, but with disability. I have schizoaffective disorder, depression, anxiety, PTSD, and I have no friends. That is a lot. The ex-girlfriend and I connected. She apologized for the past. We became Facebook friends. She invited me into a group she started that we both shared interest in. From this point, it has been an anxiety, tear-filled, up-and-down, emotional roller coaster of mixed emotions and signals leading to emotional distress for me, my ex, and my wife. No physical infidelity ever took place, but definitely an emotional one. I would live by my phone waiting for my ex to call, text, message, or even for a like or a heart response on a post. I would make in the group chat just to feel acknowledged by her and heartbroken when she didn't. Yeah, this is limerence, all right. I'd meet up to help the group with her feeling used a lot of times, but continued to pursue her. She eventually expressed mutual feelings for me. For the sake of time and length of story, we are still communicating, not as much. I'm no longer part of this group, but I can't stop thinking of her, and I'm so sad that I wasn't good enough for her when we were young, as she was who I wanted to be with. I try to remind myself of the bad things that I avoided by not being with her and the good things I have, but I'm still tortured by it all. Is this a mix of trauma bonding, limerence, unhappiness, and a mental health issue all wrapped up in one that keeps me from stopping this misery? Should ex-romantic partners be friends if each are married to someone else? How do I let go? Go no contact even though I feel I've lost her for good? Should I divulge my true feelings to my wife about my ex-girlfriend even though I may not understand them? Are these feelings just based on past trauma bond emotions and not real ones? Thank you so much for your videos and your time and consideration of this letter. Okay, Ed, I'm so glad you wrote. And I think I can help. This is so heavy. I'm so sorry about all of this. With your childhood and what happened with your first romance, you said that you thought that you lost her because you weren't good enough. All right, what were you, 16, 17? And it's not about that. What I heard here is that you were the nice guy. She had always been with bad guys. She had a nice guy. And what is really normal, which is happening for you right now, in fact, you're having it too, is when people don't have unhealed trauma, and sometimes just people get this, it's just human, is that if somebody really loves you and is good to you, you don't feel attracted romantically or sexually. And so you get that friend feeling and you think, no, I really got to go pursue the people who jerk me around and who dumped me before. That's what you're doing now, and that's what she did before. And you're doing it to your wife, not because she's not good enough. It's because you have a feeling that there's something you're missing out on. And you believe, rightly or wrongly, that if you could be with this woman from the past, you would be fulfilled. And I don't immediately discard the possibility that you're right. It's possible, but I think it's unlikely. Here's what I hear, Ed, that I think is one really big marker of why whatever you feel about women has spin on it. You have no friends. You said you have no friends and you've got these diagnoses and some of them are pretty serious and you have no friends. So if somebody is really struggling with mental health and has no friends, they have one friend, their wife of 25 years, who's totally stood by them, but they're like, this doesn't give me that feeling I want. And You want to go back to the past, to somebody you felt strongly about in your teens. I do understand that, but this is, what you are talking about is limerence. And trauma bond, you're not in a trauma bond right now, as far as I know. I don't know, you didn't explain, why are you guys seeing less of each other now? Was that her? Is she totally prepared to leave her marriage for you, as you seem to be for her? You weren't clear whether you had that conversation, and I just think if that was clear, you would have mentioned it in your letter. It sounds to me like she enjoyed the energy of the whole thing, and she shut it down. That's my guess. I have to guess, because you didn't tell me. But I don't think you would have shut it down, and I don't think that you... Yeah, I just think you would tell me if you had both said, I want to leave my spouse for you. You would have said something to me, and the question would have been more about the logistics of that, but it's not. The stuff you're asking me, you said you thought you had lost her forever. So I think what it is... Oh, these high school reunion things, they're notorious. A lot of people will get hooked in to somebody they had strong feelings for. And they're a little bit of an archetype of like great expectations and terrible disappointment because of that very thing, that there were strong feelings in teens before. You know, when we were young, before we ever got our hearts broken, we didn't have so much fear. We just didn't have so much fear that if we would open our hearts to somebody, we were going to get burned and discarded or shut down and abandoned. So there was no fear there. There was an abandon to the level of love that we were able to receive and give that was wild. But here you are now. You're however old you are. There's all this water under the bridge. And I don't think there's any way that you would feel great with her. And the big barometer for that, I always remind people, is, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? So you've had this kind of like emotional affair going on the side for a while. That's the word for it. And you're miserable. You're totally miserable. It's up and down, roller coaster, you know, depressed, sad. What did you say? You're so afraid to lose her. So that's not what a good relationship feels like. You need to know the signs that something is actually legitimate. I do think it's possible for people, because of circumstances or trauma or whatever, to have made a poor decision in their original choice of spouse, and that there really is something much more suitable and appropriate that would enliven them and support them, and they would feel understood. That is always a possibility. And it wouldn't be out of the realm of you know, realistic thinking that if there was such a relationship like that, that the right thing to do would set the whole situation right by being with the other spouse. And I guess a popular example of this would be King Charles and Camilla. You know, they didn't get married the first time. Tragedy ensued. Now they're married. They seem to be a very, very married couple. And so they ended up doing the right thing by themselves. But as we know, they hurt other people. They hurt their existing spouses a great deal. Perhaps it was the best thing to do. That's a moral judgment that we can refrain from. But I'm just saying there are examples out there of, you know, where this happens and it turns out for the best. And with you, the fact that you're miserable, that you have to be so scared of whether she cares, that's not a relationship that is promising. That's not it. When you really have a great relationship, and if it were an emotional affair or a friendship on the side, it would still have signs of marriage, which are that this person can be with you, will be with you. You know, that sounds like that's missing. That they cause you to get up at a higher level. They cause you to be a better version of yourself. So the minute you're sneaking around on your wife, there's a big dent in that. But let's just say that your real nature was, I just have to like grab something out of the air here. You're going to create this great organization that's going to make sure the whole world has food. So that would, and in the past, you just had some desk job that was meaningless and nobody cared who you were. And that when you're with this person, that's who you become and you start doing this thing. See, that's the sign. I sort of made a grandiose one. So you don't have to save the whole world for it to be a sign, but you become a much more fruitful and better version of yourself and a more moral version of yourself. And there's a peace there. You feel like they get you. And so from all this furtive texting and stuff, it's hard to say whether somebody got you. As human beings, we are so vulnerable to kind of put a watercolor wash over things when we need to. And texting is one of those things that's very, you can really put a lot of wash on it. It can, you know how the meaning changes? Have you ever had people get very hurt by something you said by text and they totally misunderstood where you were coming from? But same thing with like romantic stuff. It's not a good way. real love that would last comes through time together. And so when you have a relationship that's a lie, you can't really have that time together. It sounds like you're not willing to end your marriage just because you're not happy there. It sounds like you've thought about it, but you're not willing to do it. And I always think that this is it's kind of a terrible dilemma if you set it up like, I will only leave this marriage I think is no good if somebody else comes along and wants me, instead of going by how you really feel. And as I say that, I also completely understand that choosing to be alone in this lonely world is a terrible thing. But I'm just thinking about how your wife feels being your fallback plan. That must feel really bad. You're not likely to get the best out of her, the most shining version of her, when she senses and knows through conversations that you don't feel great about her, that there's always a threat that you're going to leave. Now, some people will say, this therapist who told you that you needed to go get closure, I'm so sorry they told you that. I guess you know from me, there's no such thing as closure. What closure is you don't have contact anymore. You stay with what you chose for your life and you do that. You don't get closure by having contact again. Now, I do think it's possible for exes after many years, if it's not terribly charged, they can have contact. But if it has to be secret, you know you're going into a bad territory. You're sort of dragging yourself into a morally compromised position. And just take it from me, like when you're trying to heal from trauma, you really can't afford to be morally compromised. And I learned that from alcoholics. To get sober, they have to really clear up their moral, you know, errors. And that's how they do it. And I really took a page from that and I cleared up my moral errors and wow, you know, my skin changed, my posture changed. I could look people in the eye again. Like I really changed when I no longer felt ashamed or guilty about how I was running my life. I still make mistakes all the time, but I, as a rule, I tend to correct them as quickly as possible and apologize to people I've hurt as quickly as possible. I don't want to make claims of I'm so perfect or anything. It's certainly not true, but I've learned a thing or two about how you can really wreck your life, and it's through sneaky behavior and grandiose beliefs that somebody you don't really know very well is really the answer to your life. It does point to that you have an idea in your mind of who you could be under better circumstances. I'm not of the school of thought that says, that's just a projection of yourself. No, I guess that could be true, but I think that's oversimplifying and it demeans what it is. Sometimes through a connection with another person, they may not be the right person for you, but there's a connection there that gives you a glimpse of the divine. And you see something higher and better that reminds you that you always knew you were meant for something greater. And so many people, their tragic story is that they invested all of the source of that in this person, you know, from high school or whatever. And it doesn't tend to turn out well. It doesn't tend to give you what you thought it would. And I get plenty of letters from people who left and they did the thing and, you know, the person would have them and they left. And then it was a relationship like all others with the usual problems. And that usually whatever your pattern was in relationships, and for you, it sounds like you're a doormat or you're completely taking the other person for granted. Like somebody has to be in a state of painful limerence for a relationship to have energy for you. That is a trauma pattern. That's a trauma pattern. That's how you know. So I will remain agnostic about what the purpose of your relationship with this woman from the past is. But because she's married and because, as I understand it, she's cooling the jets with you, please let her have space to do that. It's very wrong to try to tear somebody out of their marriage. Don't do it. If she's interested, she will let you know. And in the meantime, because you're hoping to be told this, you're keeping a terrible secret. But I still say, don't tell your wife. Don't tell her things unless you're actually walking out the door, because it will hurt her. And I know there are people who are like, oh, you have to be open and honest. Yeah, I disagree. I think that one of the most important things we can do is consider other people's feelings. We can't control our thoughts and feelings. And for the record, we can't really control who we love. And so until we have made a decision about what we're going to do, at least for the foreseeable future, why drag people along through our mental chaos that doesn't really mean anything because we don't know? Because we don't know. That's my opinion. So hopefully she is busy figuring out getting her ducks in a row so she's prepared to live as a single person. Who knows? Maybe she will make the first move to leave the marriage, because this is going to be very hard. I would imagine it's pretty harsh for her, and maybe she'd like to leave. And I shouldn't be surprised, Ed, that if she did, you would suddenly start to see that she was so great. Just because what you're describing is something that happens. It seems to be an expression of a trauma-driven attachment wound that a lot of people have, that we kind of eroticize abandonment. And by eroticize, I mean eros, you know, not just sex, but love. Like, oh, the one who abandoned me, that was such a great love. And it's a trick of the mind, isn't it? It's a trauma wound. And so I do think that that is, I know what you mean when you say trauma bond. A trauma bond is where there's intermittent reinforcement. But that's not quite what's going on here. It sounds like she kind of got involved with you for a bit and then pulled away. So Ed, I would hate for you to lose this wife who loves you. And I would love for you to heal enough that you could show up lovingly and kind of open your heart. And that can happen sometimes with trauma healing. What I'm going to suggest to you is to solve the very first problem is you need friends and you need fun in your life. It sounds like this involvement with the group from high school, that it was fun and you had activities and you had other people to hang out with. No wonder it was such a joy. You need that in your life. And I understand it won't be her. It won't be this person who's so important to you, but it's still important. It's still important that you have fun and connection to other people. You mustn't let this go or have the false idea that one person can make your whole life like that. It doesn't work like that. Couples have a lot of problems around one of them kind of like making the other one their whole life. That does not tend to work. It's an unstable arrangement. So whatever happens, you don't have to make anything happen right now. But I would really encourage you to increase the level of joy and connection in your life. You could do that perhaps with a 12-step program. You had an alcoholic parent, you totally qualify. And you could do it in my programs if you like, the courses, the membership. We have a lot of stuff going on where people connect. We have daily practice calls several times a day with the peers. And I'm there every 2 weeks doing coaching calls daily, and then every 2 weeks doing daily practice calls. We have a lot of community and people support each other. And now they're posting on Facebook vacations they take together and things. People make friends if they choose to, not everybody. But I hope you'll take positive steps towards your own healing, woman or no woman, wife or no wife.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to betterhelp.com/CCF, as in Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's betterhelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.